You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is the Bama Online Podcast, this one on Thursday, April the 15th, 2021. Travis Schreier, Senior Analyst for BamaOnline.com, and it is always a pleasure to be joined by BOL Recruiting Analyst Hank South. Hank, how you doing?
I'm good, Travis. How are you?
We're hanging in there, man. We've got A-Day coming up here and just a little more than 48 hours from the time that we are recording this first thing on a Thursday morning. But before we get into some A-Day visitors and perhaps also some talk about the formal approval of the one-time transfer rule by the D1 Council there with the NCAA, also, it looks like that dead period, what seemed eternal there for a while, is going to finally lift around June 1 or so. We'll get into some of that stuff with Hank later in the pod as well. But big news, I guess, in a couple of ways, on Wednesday, as Jaheim Otis, big, that's the key word, I think, commits to the Alabama Crimson Tide, the four-star defensive lineman from Columbia, Mississippi. And the legend of this guy goes back a few years, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. I look back and, you know, you can search on your text messages, kind of your first mention of something, or if you have an iPhone, at least. I searched his name, and Charlie Potter had texted me about him in 2017. It's just funny. It's like, what, 4 years ago now that, you know, he first kind of came up on the radar. He was pretty much not, I'm sure he's grown a little bit more, but he was a huge kid back in middle school, you know, going into eighth grade. He camped it at the Nick Saban football camp over the summer. He actually talked with Nick Saban, I think in 2017. So entering his eighth grade season, so he's been on the radar. He's camped at Bama several times. He's very familiar with the program. Right now we have him listed at 6'4", 349. That's not verified. So, you know, but, you know, all you got to do is just look at his Twitter and see the videos he's posted and stuff. I mean, he's massive. But, a little bit out of the blue as far as timing. You know, he's had an offer for a while. Like I said, he's been on the radar for a while. Alabama is very well aware of him. But, you know, the springtime is always kind of kids just decide to commit. And sometimes they don't really set decision dates or, you know, have commitment ceremonies. They just get it out of the way. So big pickup, number six in the class for Alabama. And I think it puts them currently at number 11 in the country with six commitments. So on a good pace to start.
Now, I know in the update for us there at BamaOnline.com, you noted that Pete Golding and defensive line coach Freddie Roach largely involved with Otis. Is that where this sort of relationships got underway, where, you know, we have so much turnover on staffs these days, and considering that he's been coming to camps and been associated with Alabama for a number of years, is it kind of just been the origins of maybe Pete Golding more so? How has that worked? And I'm sure, based on Freddie Roach being at Ole Miss, yeah, probably familiar with Freddie from that perspective.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, with these SEC kids in the South, I mean, there's crossover a lot of the times, even when, you know, their staff shake up, you know, there's still some familiarity there. And that's the case with Freddie Roach. I actually talked to Jaheim last night. We'll have a story up on Thursday about his thoughts on committing. But he said, yeah, he's known Freddie Roach since back at Ole Miss. And, you know, I'm trying to think prior to that. But anyway, he said since Ole Miss, he's known him. So there's a lot of familiarity there. He's close with Pete Golding, who is his area recruiter. Yeah. Pete Golding actually tweeted out on Wednesday, the flex emoji kind of signifying a commit was coming. So there was a little bit of a, you know, teaser there, but, those two. And obviously Nick Saban, he, you know, with his tweet, screenshotted his Zoom or FaceTime call with Nick Saban. So those are kind of the three main recruiters there. But yeah, he's very familiar. Has a he's pretty close with the staff.
You know, you look at Otis on tape, and you see some of the combine type camp stuff that he does, and just the physical makeup of this guy. And I'm going to go back like 5 years and invoke Kendall Hulk Jones from out there in the state of Texas. Kind of reminds me of that dude a little bit, who it looked like for a while was headed to Alabama in his own right. Just physical attributes, I think, are pretty similar there.
Yeah, both. I mean, going back to him, that was my first year covering Alabama recruiting. You know, he was similar size, similar, height, weight, and they just wore it really well. And I think that's similar with Otis. You stood next to Kendall Jones, and, you would be shocked to hear he was 350 pounds. He looked really lean and like built. I think, both those guys are very similar. I like that comp. I was actually, I was thinking kind of similar, Tim Smith, a little bit, was my first kind of thought when I started thinking of that, but I like the Jones comparison as well.
Maybe some A'shaun Robinson, if we want to stick out there in Texas a little bit. A'shaun was always pretty impressive physically, but this is sort of next level massive when you talk about Jaheim Otis. Jaheim the Dream, I guess we'll call him moving forward. As you noted, the commitment of Otis, number 6 for Alabama in the class of 2022. He is the number 12 defensive tackle prospect and number 149 overall player in the country per the industry-generated 24/7 Sports composite ranking. So a nice, if not somewhat, as Hank pointed out, a little bit random, but interesting nonetheless to add a second defensive lineman now to this still growing 2022 class. Hey, Hank, before we head to a break, wanted to get into some A-Day visitors of note, understanding that whereas we're thrilled that we're going to have A-Day in some form or fashion, not all the way back to what we knew, say, in 2019 when it was the sort of mega recruiting opportunity that it has been in years past, but still good to get a lot of these guys on campus and there for the scrimmage nonetheless, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime you can get these guys on your campus as opposed to someone else's, that's a win, even if it is a dead period. And, we saw Florida State had a big visitors weekend with guys on campus, I guess, last weekend. And I think they got a couple commits out of it, just having guys in town. So, it seems like, it'll be a solid showing. Several Alabama commits expected to attend, Ty Simpson, Emmanuel Henderson, Robert Woodyard. So, those guys can probably take on a little recruiter role, whereas the coaches can't talk to them in person. But Jeremiah Alexander, Justice Finkley, Shamar James, some big targets in the class of 2022, particularly from in-state, are expected in attendance. And who knows, the guys could, just get that urge and commit just based off, their experience. So we'll see kind of how it all plays out, but should be first visitors weekend we've had in a while.
Yeah, I would think, and this is just an assumption by me, that when you combine the opportunity to go to spring games, you mentioned Florida State and kind of the after effect that situation had on the Seminoles getting a bump in commitments, I would think there's some guys out there that are probably, even if they don't realize it, itching to maybe go ahead and make some decisions because they haven't been able to go to places over the last year or so. And then you get them in that situation again, even if it isn't formal in terms of a recruiting opportunity, they can still get caught up in this deal, I would think.
Yeah, and it's interesting because there's like so many different things at play. Obviously you got the dead period coming up to, that's going to end, or it looks like it's going to end at the end of May. So you got for sure visits that are on the horizon. You can get some official visits in, test it out. But then at the same time, you haven't been in this like formal recruiting setting in a long time. You get there and you just guys just decide to commit. I think, you know, if we didn't see the dead period coming to an end here soon, maybe this weekend would be even bigger of a, you know, even more of a chance to see some guys pop, just because, you know, who knows when they're going to have another opportunity to be in that kind of environment. But it'll be kind of interesting to see how they kind of balance or, you know, juggle that. You know, visits are coming up, but you know, you're here now having a good time. You know, do you want to go ahead and pop and maybe take some visits as a commit? So yeah, we'll see how that kind of all plays out.
Yeah, we're going to take a break here on the Bama Online Podcast, talking with Hank South. Does an outstanding job covering recruiting for us there at BOL. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of items that we touched on a little bit, go a little bit more in depth on the D1 Council for the NCAA formally approving the one-time transfer rule. Could that have an immediate impact on the University of Alabama in the coming days and weeks, both in terms of transfers, but then also with the June 1, perhaps the dead period being lifted, and how that could still maybe impact the Alabama class of 2021, still a big target out there for 2021. We'll do that with Hank South when the Bama Online Podcast returns right after this.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Back with more of the Bama Online Podcast. Travis Ryer joined by Hank South, talking some recruiting on a Thursday, a couple days before A-Day 2021 at the Capstone. So, Hank, it was a formality, and it did come to fruition here in the last day or so. The NCAA D1 Council goes ahead and approves the one-time transfer rule. Now, we've seen some conferences around collegiate athletics, even before this was done at the NCAA level, go ahead and rescind their intra-conference transfer rules, which is considered to be, you know, the other sort of hang-up potentially for these players that are looking to make moves around college football, also college basketball as well. When Alabama fans hear this, they think of Henry Toa, the Tennessee linebacker that is in the transfer portal. From what you've been able to gather, and I know there's been mention of Toa with some other schools, not just Alabama. And you've spoken with the Toa family, as we know, in depth. You've been able to keep up with that with Hank at BamaOnline.com. What is your expectation maybe for that specific situation now, as we get word officially from the D1 Council on the one-time transfer rule?
Yeah, you know, talking to the Toa's, I think the expectation is just, you know, they're going to wait to see what, you know, the SEC rules. You know, obviously we got kind of the NCAA decision in, and now, you know, that was one of two they needed as far as if they want to go to Alabama, and you know, they're going to wait for the SEC now, and then kind of break down their options. And, you know, as far as timelining, I'm not sure when the SEC could decide. You know, I think the Big 12 came out and announced last night or earlier this week that they're going to allow intra, and then ACC's been for a while, but so, you know, we'll see. Maybe it's this week. Maybe it's after the official. I think that what the vote's officially done on Thursday or something like that. So maybe they're just waiting for official word. We'll see. But regardless, you know, I think the Toa's are waiting. You know, his dad, Henry's dad, is an assistant coach at De La Salle High School. So, you know, they have their final game of the season this week. So that's kind of been the focus of this week as far as, you know, where they're standing. I actually caught up with them to see if they were going to come to A-Day by chance, just to, you know, get out to campus, and, you know, they're not, they have those plans in place. So, we'll see. They're going to wait for the vote. They're going to talk about it again. You know, they talked about how they're going to take whatever advice Nick Saban gives them when it comes to that decision. And, you know, if it's not for, if it's not Alabama, you know, for some reason, if the SEC doesn't allow intra-conference transferring, you know, I think Ohio State's probably that backup option as far as, you know, where they're looking. So, you know, they're just kind of still in the wait and see mode. They've really stuck by that timeline. He said back in February, you know, we're going to wait for these votes to play out. We're going to talk about it, then make a decision. And, you know, here we are in April 15th, and that's kind of still where we're at.
As far as the dead period coming to an end on June 1, JT Mo'olau, the big-time defensive end still out there for the class of 2021 from the Pacific Northwest, is he continuing to wait this thing out in hopes of still perhaps taking official visits to his top two or three options out there?
That's the plan. You know, he recently caught up with Brandon Huffman, or his dad did, or Brandon Huffman's been all over this recruitment. But yeah, he said once that dead period lifts, they want to get out on those five trips. At least, you know, I think they absolutely want to get to Alabama and Ohio State. Obviously, there's some more familiarity with the West Coast schools in his top five. But Alabama and Ohio State look like they're going to absolutely get official visits. But yeah, that's going to come in June. Then obviously a decision would be made after that. So he hasn't really hurried anything along. You know, he's taking his time. He's had his football season. It's still weird to me that they're having spring high school football season. And I think he just wrapped up his senior season in football, and then he had a couple more basketball games or something. So he's been pretty busy with his own stuff. And then, you know, obviously, you know, with June coming, he'll be a little bit busier then too, before he makes his final decision. But yeah, it looks like that June, the month of June looks like the prime, you know, decision timeline visit window for JT, you know, in regards to whatever commitment he makes.
And then obviously, I guess some 2022 guys, as you've reported on the website, looking to go ahead and get official visits lined up for this summer, looking ahead to the 2022 class.
Yeah. There's been a handful. You know, we've seen several schools just like load up every weekend in June. Just they're going to have big official visitors weekends, and maybe that's a good strategy. I'm not sure, but Bama hasn't, to my knowledge, hasn't done that too much yet. You know, we've seen, I think, four or five guys set official visit dates for the month of June. I know Shamar James recently set up for June 4th. I think there's a few others. Bobby Taylor, Texas A&M cornerback commit. He's, I think, June 11th. So, they're going to have visitors each weekend, probably some official visitors. But I've also talked to guys that have, you know, been in contact with Alabama that, you know, Bama wants them to come out during the season, you know, see a game or, you know, even after the, you know, Bama typically likes to do their official visitors weekends after the season when they can actually spend time with the kids and, you know, really actually recruit them and not just kind of rush them along through the game day atmosphere. Either way, you know, getting a visit's getting a visit. But so we'll see how that goes. But Bama hasn't been as active in setting the official visits as some other schools have. And, you know, we'll see which strategy pays off.
Well, as always, Hank, we appreciate you taking the time here on the Bama Online podcast. Always great stuff with Hank Forrest there at Bama Online. You can hang out with us at the Roundtable, the premium message board of choice for Alabama fans globally these days. Hank, thanks again, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, Travis.
For Hank Sal, Travis Schreier, hoping you will, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Bama Online podcast. If you haven't done that, it's as simple as a click or two. Leave us a rating and a review while you're there. We would greatly appreciate that as well. Until next time, have a great weekend, everybody.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.